be dessert. It is good to see all of you this evening, and we are going to look at Psalm 119. This is our next section, and we're looking at the section titled Tzadeh. It's that Hebrew letter that has a TS sound at the beginning. We don't have a sound like that in our language, so it's very difficult for me to say something like that. Tzadeh. It reminds me of, when I was learning Hebrew, it reminds me of the Spanish D and how it needs to be soft. And it's very hard for me to pronounce even that. And so this is the same type of letter. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 137. So we're making progress through this psalm. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. The testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. So obviously we're talking about the Word of God in Psalm 119, but we've also tried to understand what is the main thrust of each section when the psalmist gives us each of these letters in the acrostic. And here it's the idea of righteousness. Look at how many times the word righteous or righteousness occurs within this short span of verses. You've heard the phrase, all is right with the world. Well, it's not true. All is not right with the world, but all is right with the Lord, and He will make sure that one day all will be right with the world. But now it is not. The psalmist is living in a generation of people who, they don't take the word of God very seriously. Does that sound familiar? So, I mean, we're looking at, this is nothing new under the sun, right? We're looking at a man who's struggling because there are people around him, and we've seen this over and over again in the psalm. There are people who are not committed to the Word of God. They don't take it seriously. There are other people who kind of want to have one foot on one side, one foot on the other side. These are the double-minded that we talked about a few weeks ago. And so they're not really committed to the Lord. And others are just flat out wicked, and they don't want anything to do with God's word, and they become a plague to the psalmist. The psalmist really struggles with people like this because these are the people that will deride him, slander him, and they will plot even against him, we were told, all through the psalm, and will be continue to be reminded of that right up until the end of the psalm. Even the authorities that are there at the time that he wrote the psalm, even the authorities are against him. And he is a young man, too, to boot. So when you're young, it makes it even more difficult because no one's really paying attention to you. You haven't built up the credibility to be listened to. We know that he's young because of verse 9, right? How can a young man cleanse his way? And so he's really sensitive to the scorn that he's receiving. We're told that in verse 39, reproach is something that he dreads. Now our text here in verse 141, he says, I'm small, I'm young, I'm being reproached, I'm small, I'm despised. He's not saying this in a woe is me attitude. He's not having a pity party here. He's praying to God. That's what we should do when we're struggling. I mean, God wants to hear these things. And so now he's isolated because of this. He has no vitality. We're told that over and over again in the psalm. It says in verse 25 that his soul clings to the dust and he melts from heaviness in verse 28. And then we had a whole devotion on the idea of him being like a wineskin in smoke, according to verse 83. The man's sensitive. He's sensitive like Jeremiah was sensitive. He had tears for the unrighteousness that he saw around him. I think aggressive people in the world, people that are really pushy, would have called him thin-skinned, because the world has no time for anyone that has a sensitive heart. They're pushed around. And so, on the one hand, the psalmist looks at all the world around him and he's very sad about it, and he struggles with tears because of what he sees around him, verse 136. But then on the other hand, he's righteously angry and disgusted by what he sees around him, and that's in verse 53, and then also again in verse 158. However, the psalmist clings, it says, to the righteousness of the Lord and his word. Psalm 119, verse 142, right where we are. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. That's what he says. And your law is truth. So all throughout the psalm, that's what he clings to. He clings to the word of God. Here he refers to the word as being the testimonies of God. And we should give testimony to what God has done and to how great his word is. And that's what the psalmist is attempting to do. He clings to the righteous character of the word of God, but it's not just the word of God that he clings to. You know, he's clinging to the Lord himself. And he really highlights that in this section, the idea of clinging to the word and to the Lord of the word. And so we have the Hebrew letter Tzadeh. What's really interesting about that letter is the letter is pronounced Tzadeh. Of course, righteousness begins with that letter, that Hebrew letter, Tzadeh. And the word for righteous in Hebrew is Tzadik. And so he's using this play on words in the acrostic to emphasize the idea of righteousness. So he rehearses all of the righteousness of God's word. He remembers the Lord himself is righteous as well. So notice verse 137. He says, righteous are you, O Lord. So the first thing I want us to notice is that the Lord, all capital letters, is righteous. Yahweh is righteous. Now, you say, how can that really be helpful for us? We know that he's righteous. How does that help in my practical daily life? Well, it's important to remember this because you become what you worship. Isn't that true? I mean, just look at the world around you. They're worshiping, you know, athletes, or they're worshiping celebrities. And so you become those people. You pour all of your heart and your mind in CNN, and you start sounding like whoever the person is on CNN now. Wolf Blitzer, or is he still there? Or Fox News, or whatever it happens to be. If you're always occupied with that, that's who you are. That's who you worship. Have you ever gotten around someone and all they ever talk about are sports? Or all they ever talk about are politics? Well, they are what they worship. It just, they effuse this. That's who they are. That's their person. That's what they're wrapped up in. And so, you are who you worship. So it's important for us to consider the righteous character of the Lord and to believe that he is a righteous God, that he will put the world right, because that power that he has to make everything right, he's making us right in the process too. You say, well, I thought I was already righteous, under the careful, watchful eye of God. And you are, you've been declared righteous in Christ. But God is taking the condition of your life, and he is working in you so that that condition lines up with the position that he already has in store for you. Okay? You're not living up to your righteous position as a child of God. And so God wants you to be consumed with him so that he can put you more right with him. I always think about a word processor. When you justify margins on a word processor, you make them straight on both sides. Okay, it's like a newspaper column. You make them straight on both sides. God is doing that to us. He's making us straight. He's justifying us. He's making our lives right. And so, the Lord is righteous. Now notice verse 142. He says, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. So, the second thing that we learn tonight is the righteousness is everlasting. The righteousness of the Lord is everlasting. The psalmist had been greatly persecuted, greatly troubled by things that were going on around him in the generation that he lived. It's good for him to remember that even though evil may seem like it has the day, that it is ruling over all, and that there doesn't seem to be anything happening to those that are not living right lives. As a matter of fact, just contrary to that, it's like Asaph in Psalm 73, it just seems like the wicked are getting away with these things and nothing's being done. Where are you, God? Why aren't you making the world right? That kind of an attitude. And of course, the Lord would say to us, you know, my timing is not your timing. And he will make things right one day. Notice what it says. It's an everlasting righteousness. Everything that's going on in the world, it's hard to believe because the world's been around for a while. But everything that's going around in the world is temporary. This is not reality in this horizontal view that we have of the world and of life. That's why I think people get so fearful at death, because they look at it as final. But death is not final for the Christian. We enter eternity. The righteousness that we have is everlasting. And we have an everlasting soul. God will make us right in that day. And we will care about the things that he cares about in that day. So let me draw your attention then. The Lord is righteous. Righteousness is everlasting. To verse 138. He says, your testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. So not only is the Lord righteous and righteousness is everlasting, but the text tells us that the Lord's testimonies are righteous. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it, he says in verse 140. You say, that seems so strange the way that he says that. Well, it seems strange to us because he's young and he's idealistic and we're jaded and cynical and we don't have the fervor that this young man has, right? And so we need it. We need what he has. God's word reveals God's character. So when we're reading the word of God, we're looking at a revelation of our Creator's character. That's what gives me vitality. That's what puts charge back into my step. We treasure something that is on the page, black and white, before us tonight. And we're reading it. We're treasuring it. But for most people in the world, they could care less. It's a dead, antiquated language. It's like when I was reading the Bible before I was saved, I didn't understand anything that I was reading. You could put a towel over it, that's probably understand it better. But when the veil was lifted, then God gave me understanding. And so it's the living word for those who love God. It's not dead and antiquated. It's God's word. It's righteous. It's pure. It's faithful. And I love it. That's what he's saying. So the Lord is righteous. Righteousness is everlasting. And the Lord's testimonies are righteous. So how do we take these three simple facts and allow them to change us tonight? Well, we got to do what the psalmist did. We need to look at the fact that the Lord is righteous, his testimonies are righteous. We need to look at all of the righteousness of God and allow that to intensify our zeal for God. Not try to work up some zeal that is a human-centered zeal, but something that God gives us when we finally come to the conclusion, yes, God's word is important. It is more necessary than my daily food. And when our enemies have forgotten God's word, our zeal is consuming us. We need to have that intense zeal. Number two, they intensify our love. Facts that we learn about the righteousness of God intensifies our love for him. That's why he says, I love it. I love it and I love you, God. That's what he's saying. God's word is very pure. And then finally, they intensify our remembrance. We don't forget the Lord's precepts. We remember. And when we're spending a lot of time in the Word of God, you can't forget it. It's there. It's a part of you. And you have the discernment that you need to live life well. But if you don't spend time in God's Word, you get away from it, then you're thinking your own thoughts. You're not thinking God's thoughts. We have to have that memory intensified by God himself. So even though trouble and anguish overtake us at times, just as they did the psalmist, we still find delights in the commandments of the Lord. His commandments are our delight, and we love it. If we garner understanding from him, the Bible says right here, we shall live. I mean, truly live. We can live an eternal quality of life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you give to us to love you and to walk with you. We pray for your strength in our lives. We know that you give it. We thank you for meeting the needs that have been before us all through the year, for providing this extension for Mrs. Rubio. How thankful we are to you for that. And how thankful we are in answering prayer and providing a safe delivery for Becky. And thank you for bringing little Ezra into the world. And thank you, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to reach out to parents during the Thanksgiving program last night, just trying to center or focus people on how they should be thankful. And it's wonderful how children can carry that message in a much more effective way. Lord, we pray that for many that are in Puerto Rico tonight, that you would provide strength for them. Help them to know that people love them and are praying for them and are ready to give and to provide for their needs. And help the schools that were there, the Bible schools, to be able to reconstruct buildings and teachers would still have their needs met as they're waiting to get their classrooms set up again. Lord, all of these things must be very, very difficult for them. We pray for your strength and for your renewal in their lives. And we pray that you would revive our hearts. We think of our missions budget. Thank you, Lord, for bringing in some slips this past Sunday. We pray that we would continue to see Faith Promise slips come in and that you would provide not only for the missionaries that we have, but even more missionaries in the future through our church. Help our missions program to grow. Help our general budget to grow. Help us to be able to do more for you. And help us to be wise stewards with that which you allow us to have. Now, Lord, bless our testimony time together and bless the refreshment that we'll have after. Thank you for those who prepared for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and we're going to